Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They have now joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
There's a lot of things about me you don't know anything about. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
And really? As always, Ross Allen Skorzewski.
What?
Engineering the show, as always, in the background, the incomparable, the talented, the frightening, Timothy Robert Ray. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. This is a show that deals with all your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Nothing is off limits concerning relationships. The rules are very simple. You get to stay totally and completely anonymous. We, in return, are brutally honest. If we think you're a dork, we'll call you a dork. We'd never be this mean to you in person. Just keep that in mind. Anyway, maybe. I just got back from Germany, had a fabulous time with the airmen and troops from Ramstein Air Base, and they said it was the largest marriage event they've ever had. Hundreds of people came, and we had a riot. Awesome. Nazareth was with us.
Yep.
Man, did he have them laughing. I've never seen an audience laugh so hard.
Really?
Yeah. To his stuff as these guys did. I mean, they could barely breathe. They were in tears laughing. You know, and a lot of it was just so politically incorrect.
I was just going to say, did he play off on his ethnicity at all?
Totally.
Absolutely. No. I was just going
to
say.
But that's hilarious to those guys.
Well, the chaplains were all nervous about it. You know, big wuss babies, chaplains, for heaven's sakes. They're all freaked out because they're afraid somebody might get offended. I'm like, are you kidding me? These are soldiers, for crying out loud. So anyway, he's telling these, 9/11 jokes, being a Middle Eastern guy.
Oh, yeah.
They laughed hysterically. It was good for them.
Well, he's the only one that can say that.
That was my point. He's Middle Eastern.
Could do it.
He's making fun of his own culture. And, and he is so passionate about, what he does he's so pro-military. Nazareth is being a Middle East man from Palestine. And he's so grateful. And he's just always so connected. You know, some of the most patriotic people in the world are the ones who came to America and became citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really
absolutely
get it. Yeah. So he's in this elevator at the air base. And there's these two young female airmen on the elevator with him.
Oh,
and
boy.
They're going to whatever. And he looks at him and says, I just want you to know, as a Middle Eastern man, how much I appreciate what you guys have done for that part of the world. Because he says, there's evil. There's no question about it. And what you guys... So anyway, they start crying.
No way.
Yeah. And he says,
there's no crying, airman.
He just got back from Iraq. What are you crying for? He really touched him. He was... It was very, very cool. So we got a chance to meet lots of people there. We went up to What is the name of the hospital there?
The LRMC, that's all I know, but I don't know what it stands for.
It stands for Arizona.
Yeah.
What is the name of that? I have it written down here somewhere. Talk amongst yourselves.
You know, it's funny. He's like, you got to send me the itinerary, Ross. I need to have the itinerary so when I fly, because I'm Middle Eastern, I need to show them that I'm flying over there for a purpose, that I do not want to blow things up. I need an itinerary. He just made fun of it. It was awesome.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my, funny guy. Again, everybody over there knows what I'm talking about. Forgive me, you guys listening, because I can't remember what the name of the school, but the hospital there. Anyway, there's almost everybody or anybody who gets wounded at any serious level comes back through Ramstein Air Base at this hospital and on this ward.
Landstuhl Regional Medical Center, is that it?
Yeah, yeah.
Say it again?
I don't know how you say it. Landstuhl?
Landstuhl? Yeah, I can't remember.
Regional Medical Center.
Yeah, yeah. And so then there's this ward, 10D or something like that.
10C,
whatever, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, where, you know, amputees and stuff like that are there. So they took us up there, and we got a chance to meet some of these guys and give them books and autograph them and whatever. Really, really nice people. So it was truly a fabulous, fabulous experience. And then, of course, we had several days just checking out Germany. It is unbelievably gorgeous.
Really?
Oh, nice, man. Pictures. You posted some nice pictures.
Oh, wait till you see all of them. I mean, it's just amazing. So anyway, we're walking through this old part of Germany. And you know, some of these buildings, they've been there for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, these old towns, people still live in these things. Some of them are kind of leaning and stuff. This is amazing. But as we're going through this beauty, you know, little tiny streets and stuff like that, and all these shops and stuff, and, you know, restaurants along the way. And as we were walking down this lane or whatever, we could hear a German band, polka band, playing. And I kid you not, they were playing.
In heaven, there is
no.
Yes!
No!
It's the dream song.
I run, yes! And when
we're gone from here, all our friends will be drinking all our beer.
So apparently,
they played that.
Apparently, this is a German song. I thought it was just something that people in Wisconsin came up with that was just a joke or something like that. But this is
it's a real German polka.
Either that or they got it from us and translated it in German. I don't know, but I got to assume it was originally from, you know, Germany or something like that. So this band's playing, In Heaven There Is No Beer. And I thought, yes, these are my kind of people.
Were they singing it in German?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it maybe matter, yeah. It's an original German polka that somebody
what I'm saying.
Rewrote
I
the words for.
I have no idea.
I don't know what they were saying.
No.
I don't speak
no,
German.
No, I'm sure it's about, I'm sure that's the.
That's what it is.
Being translated, yeah. In Heaven There's No Beer, yeah. So I thought all the
in
places
Himmel
to go.
In Himmel gibt's kein Bier is the song name in German. In Himmel gibt's kein Bier.
Yeah. He looks it up.
In Heaven There's No Beer, yeah. So anyway, I thought that was hilarious. You know, often as we play that song around here and giggle and laugh and stuff like that. So, but anyway, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful places. Some of these old churches and whatnot. There's this one church that was, there are these two brothers, and they got in a fight over some chick. It was a shock, okay?
Can imagine that.
Yeah, so some super babe, and the one brother marries a super babe while the other brother's off doing, you know, war and glory, and he comes back, and he's got the, so they're up in the big tower, and as, you know, like a scene out of Braveheart where the king throws the guy out of the tower. So this guy throws his brother out the window.
Uh-uh.
You know, yeah, some flying lessons and splat. Anyway, he is, and this is like just on the sheer cliff. You should see where they build these things. I mean, it's just crazy, gorgeous. These old, you know, castles on it. Not much left to this particular one now, but anyway, he was so guilt-ridden for killing his brother.
Chucking his brother.
Of course,
off.
He should be. As
one
he should
one
be.
Really should not chuck one's brother.
Chuck a bro.
No, chuck a bro.
Choke a hoe.
Chuck a hoe.
Chuck a bro.
Chuck a bro. You shouldn't choke a hoe, nor should you chuck a bro. So this guy chucked the bro out the window.
Yep.
And he was so guilty. So as his penance, he decides to build this church in the side of this solid rock facade of this thing. So actually, they hew out this rock, and they build this church inside the side of this mountain.
And of course,
and then they have the front part of it, you know, it looks kind of like a church, but then you go and it's actually inside. But So that was kind of cool. And we went on the Rhine River.
The Rhine. Was it a party cruise?
Stop your crying! What?
Was it a party cruise?
A party barge.
I don't know if it was much of a party cruise.
It was when you showed up.
Yeah, there was not a lot of partying going on there. But when we were on it. So anyway, go up and down, and there's a castle, like every...
Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Castle.
I mean, just along the whole thing. I mean, literally, some of them, you know, they could see each other. Mm-hmm. They could wave. Hey, how's it going over there? And, of course, some of them had a lot of damage just because for all the years. Right. But some of them were in great shape.
Erosion from the weather. Yeah.
Napoleon had come through, and he blew up a bunch of them, and then other war things and this, that, and the other. But it's just amazing to go so many places where there is so much history mm-hmm. wherever yeah. you go. And gorgeous. I mean, it was just absolutely gorgeous. If you've never been to Germany, man, you know, obviously I'm not German, but boy, this is a cool place. Very cool. And gorgeous. Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. And again, well, I think already they're planning on having us come back again.
Sweet.
Next year. This time they're going to try and line up with several, what do you call it? Other army posts
branches
and whatnot.
Or,
you know.
Okay.
Different bases.
Well, the
bases.
First time we went there for in Bamberg, army post. And then this time we can move just over for the airfield. And then... So,
if you can do some base hopping,
yeah, if you could do, I mean, it'd be a lot more
efficient
financially. Mm-hmm. Although the government, the military is never really quite known for
us. No, they're not.
Financial efficiencies. Great at blowing crap up, though.
Not the most efficient people in the world.
We got the best army in the world. We blow crap up just everywhere. Nothing we can't blow up. So we're very proficient there, but not known for our financial. Efficiencies. And anyway, so I said, listen, when we come back, why don't you talk to some of these other mm-hmm. chaplains and kind of just
coordinate your efforts,
do a
here.
Tour. So we'll see how that all pans out. But anyway, it was great fun. God bless all you guys over there for coming. Thanks for what you do, number one. And thank you for coming to the event. And
can they get you on a USO tour? I mean, they would have that all organized, and you
actually,
could go
actually,
from-
I got, I was contacted. There was a guy who books for the USO yeah. who was at the event.
Yeah,
and of course, he saw not just how helpful, but how funny this thing is. You know, mm-hmm. especially between me and Nazareth, there was a scream. So, and Nazareth, if you've never seen Nazareth, you know, we're about the same height, same hair, same almost. You know, we look. He's like a Palestinian version of me.
Yeah,
this is so true.
So it's very funny. So. So anyway, he was talking to us about maybe, he said, would you be interested in doing a USO tour?
That yeah, would be great.
I said, no. I'd love it. You know, so I mean, I don't know what that means, but to check it. So
they could bill it as Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
So just a little bit of history here. The In Heaven, There Is No Beer was originally composed as a movie score for the film Die Friedenschein von Bodnies. So anyways, the English lyrics are credited to
Two-Ton
Baker or to Joe Trolley and Frank Yankovic. So yeah. I believe it is.
Really?
Yes. See, that was Frankie's song where I heard it when I was a kid because my grandpa
was
had
it
a
done
tape
in
track.
The States?
English polka.
English polka.
Well, yeah, it was done in the States. It was written in the States.
So it was
for
written
this movie.
In English. So what we heard, they translated it into German.
German.
Yes.
Ah, so it came out here.
Gibt's kein Bier.
Okay.
In heaven there is no beer. We love that song. So anyway, then as the. Then they had the 9/11 ceremonies.
That had to have been awesome.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Just seeing the pictures was very moving.
Yeah, it was
I just saw
cool.
the one that your wife sent me.
Yeah, it was neat. And then at the on the very last night, they had a big concert, USO concert for with Trace Adkins. And man, was that cool. That
Trace.
That was just
did
monster
he sing the Whoop-a-Man's?
Cool. Actually, he did. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You said he opened with it, right?
He came. Oh yeah. As soon as he, the all of a sudden, and now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Mr. Trace Adkins.
The band song goes wild
because the crowd wants crowd screaming. You know, big, huge speakers. It's just,
shaking
it's more like
chest.
It's almost like rock.
Yeah.
It's almost like a country rock concert. And then here comes Adkins. This dude is humongous.
Every now and then you gotta take it on the chin, gotta turn the other cheek.
People are just screaming.
But then there's times you're always
I'm one of them.
I'm sure you were.
I thought you were.
Well, you're
like a little girl in the front row.
Oh my
God! Did you see the picture how close she was?
Yeah, I did.
Hold your ground, and that's the point that he'll get the point.
you'll probably back down.
He's got such a low voice.
And steps he does. That line.
Gotta whoop a man's ass sometimes.
So the place just goes crazy. You talk about a perfect song for a military group.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it is insane. Ross, you would have loved this.
Oh, I know. That's why you should have taken me.
You would have. The whole time I'm thinking, Ross should be here. Ross should be here. Ross should be here. This dude, you talking about an imposing presence. When this man walks on, first of all, he's ginormous. He's
kind of like me.
6'6", 6'7", I don't know how tall he is.
6'6", is what I looked up on the
internet. He looks like
6'10".
10. I mean, he's just massive. And not just tall. He's like the dude's built.
He's wide.
He's brawny.
Big, but not fat. I mean, he's like this chiseled. Holy stinking. It was like looking in the mirror. You know, it was amazing.
It's like a brick wall.
It was like a brick wall. It was like, holy stinking cow, this guy was something else. And I don't know why I never really thought about it. You know, I thought he had, you know, he's like a baritone kind of voice. No, this guy's a bass.
It's real deep.
And I've never really heard it on his recordings, but
when he talks,
When he talks, really. But then he'll sing sometimes, and he'll drop down, and the speakers just rock. And the crowd's like, "Oh my goodness!"
That's why you feel it pounding in your chest.
Trace is in my chest.
So I mean, that it's so rare because almost every singer in the world that's of any note at all is a tenor.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd say soprano with some of these guys.
Then they do. You know, they jump it up with a falsetto on top of it.
Yeah.
And then rare occasion, you'll get more of a baritone type thing. But it's almost unheard of.
He's a bass.
We're not as widely celebrated anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's almost unheard of to have a lead singer, his whole thing, and he's got a bass voice. And this guy, you know, just talking. You can barely understand him. So it's like
so low.
It's like those frequencies that the Navy uses to speak to communicate with submarines out.
Yep.
The ELF system. So extremely
he's like
low
elephant.
Frequencies.
He's an elephant. They speak in a language from one another that's so low you can't even hear it.
Oh man. So I get a chance to meet him, shaking his hand, and I'm thinking, I don't understand you, but thank you for shaking my hand. So I got his autograph here.
You do have it. You have it down here?
Right here.
So you were looking up at him, and he was looking down upon you.
Actually, I was looking down on him because he was seated.
Oh.
But even that was almost like looking straight ahead.
Seriously.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm sure of all the highlights in his life, he will remember meeting me. You know, I'm sure he's talking to all his friends this morning. Man, I got a chance to meet Mark Gunger. Oh, this is just awesome. You know. So
he's just this little dude. You should see how smart he is, man.
He has no idea who I was or anything, but it was so cool. And so he ends the song. I got to look this up here real quick as we blow through our break, but what do we care?
You know when I totally got the groove on him was when he did Celebrity Apprentice. I watched every show because
he
was
on
the final two. He got down to the final two on Celebrity Apprentice. Was it him?
Did he win?
No, I think Piers Morgan beat him. It was between him and Piers Morgan.
You're looking at me as if I watched
the
show.
I don't know. I totally got the groove for Trace Adkins watching him on Celebrity Apprentice. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, you just have a thing for Donald Trump's comb over.
Oh, yeah, that's it. It's the big Don. That's... What are you looking up over there?
His last song that he sang.
Oh, trying to find it.
And
was that the one about something to hell or out of hell?
Welcome to hell.
Did you find it?
I don't see it on here.
Maybe it's a new one. Maybe he didn't record it yet.
Maybe he never recorded it. I don't know. He said he only sang it a handful of times. He sings it like on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets Don thank you because he ends with, you know, honky tonk but donkey donk. You remember the song, Ross?
Honky tonk.
Sing about the same with this big butt dancing.
Keeping perfect rhythm, make you wanna swing along. Got it going on like Donkey Kong. And shut my mouth, slap your grandma. There ought to be a law, get the sheriff on the phone. Lord have mercy, how she even
get them bridges on?
It's a honky tonk, but donkey donk.
Anyway, this the crowd's going wild because it's one of his big mega hits. You know, this lady shaking her butt dancing. And so he's done and he goes off the stage. And of course, the crowd keeps screaming because that's everybody does this. You know, I don't know. Why don't you just stay there and sing the last song? I don't know. But you got to wait for everybody to scream. And then he comes back to do the encore. And he says, yeah, I won't sing this song, you know, like just so many times. So.
I just sent it to you. I found a YouTube version.
You found it?
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Hell. I just sent it to you. I sent the link.
How come I can't find it online?
Well, it wasn't on iTunes. It was on YouTube. I found it.
Okay, let's see if I can play it here. There you go. It might sound cruddy on YouTube, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's talking this whole time, talking about these guys flying these planes into the World Trade Center, killing all people, think they're going to go to heaven. And he says, must have been quite a shock when they woke up in hell. Oh, yeah. And he says, so, you know, I only sing this on 9/11. He says, I was a little upset when I wrote this song. So check it out.
Come on in, son, have a seat. Don't mind the screams, don't mind the heat. It's been like this round here for a long, long time.
I have heard this.
We haven't had the chance to meet, but I've heard about you on TV, and I think we're gonna get along just fine. I can't help but notice look somewhat surprised. Did you think, son, after what you've done, the Lord would let you slide? Welcome to hell, your new home.
Your new home.
You did the crime, now you'll do the time right where you belong. Welcome to hell.
I mean, the crowd just goes nuts.
Wow.
And, you know, especially on 9-11. This is on 9-11.
On 9-11, yeah,
so he's singing the song with these guys all cool. Before he starts, he says, how long has Osama been dead? For like 100 days? I don't know, 160, I can't remember whatever. And he says, so I figure Osama's been in hell for about 106 days now. And so the whole place goes crazy. So they're singing a song. And, of course, you know, the chaplain's next to me. They're a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
I'm
not
sure
you,
they are.
Not you.
You know, I wasn't. You should never rejoice on anybody going to hell.
No.
And I get it. And there were some Christians that were upset about it. I thought, just relax. Come on. You know, surely these people are in hell. If we believe what we say we believe.
That's right.
And if we believe that, if you know, it's like you don't know if your neighbor goes to hell. You know if that guy goes to hell. You don't know for sure
but
who's
you're
going.
Pretty
but
certain.
There's some people that you know. If there's any truth in what we believe,
right?
These boys are in hell. There's no question about it. So, one young Christian leader, but I don't know. It's just not nice to say. I said, sweetheart, we're over there shooting them in the head. What? You don't have a problem with that, apparently. Just don't say they're going to hell. What do you think they're doing when they're shooting them? So anyway, it was an interesting thing. So great fun. It was fabulous. And again, to talk to these young men and women. I had a chance to talk to some of these guys in a special session where they were trying to deal with the challenges of re-acclimating back. Mm-hmm. And he said, there's all kinds of things. When you come back from there, especially if you've been out there for like the longer deployments, like 14 months or whatever, 18 months, when you come back, they've got some serious stuff that they have to adapt to. That,
yes.
You know, just someone slamming
their just
hand
a noise.
On the
PTSD.
On the, you know, yep. They dropped the floor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They got a thing called the Walmart syndrome. Say they go into Walmart and they start, their heads kind of start spinning, the room starts spinning because of all the colors and sounds. Yeah. You have to remember, we've been for 18 months of nothing but brown.
Right.
Yep. Everything
is just
brown.
Like overstimulation.
Clothes are brown, mm-hmm. The ground is brown, the houses are brown, the people are brown, everything's brown. And then you come in, you walk into a Walmart and there's colors and bright lights, everything. Yep. And he says, and it literally, you know,
like one of those movie things where the cameras
swimming. So they work with these guys trying to explain, you know, how to deal with stuff.
Yeah.
And then part of it, some of these trainers who deal with this, they say they use my DVDs. to help these guys and talk about, you know, some of the challenges they're going to have to go through to reacclimate, you know, in their marriages and stuff like that. So anyway, the finest young men and women in the world are in the U.S. military. There's no question about it. And these guys, you know, if you ever meet a 22-year-old man who's in the military and a 22-year-old who has not been in the military, it is day and night. I mean, the sense of respect and confidence and the way they carry themselves. Yep. I am convinced the one thing that would absolutely save this country, now our politicians do not have the cojones to do it, but the one thing that would absolutely save this culture, our country, and the world would be mandatory military service. Mm-hmm. Stick every 18-year-old 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now, all kinds of countries do this. Israel does it, all kinds of places. Yeah, I mean, a lot of countries do it, man, tons, but not ours, and not, you know, Western countries. Mm-hmm. And we just become lazy. We become slobbing. And whereas these guys are young men at 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age. And in our culture, these guys are 32, still living at home with mom and playing video games and as immature as the day they turn 12, you know, which is sad. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this many, many times. So, but it was very, very cool. It was a life-changing, moving experience. I will never forget it, and looking forward to going back again.
And, wonderful.
Being with these guys.
So. One of the cool things whenever I'm around military guys, you know, younger than me, whatever, they always call me ma'am.
Isn't that always kind of how it is?
Yeah, almost younger everybody's younger than me. But they call me ma'am. Very few other young men that I know call a woman ma'am when they address them or talk to them, whether it's email or on the phone or in person.
That's a
they're not saying that. Stop that. Stop that. But it's very impressive to me to, you know, have them speak so respectfully and, you know, to address me as ma'am like that. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet. It's very, you know.
It can be a little disturbing. You know, I get uncomfortable whenever anybody calls me ma'am.
I'm sure this is quite problematic to you.
Is that because
seriously? I look like a woman. Seriously,
is that because of the moobs?
The moobs, yeah.
I can see how they could confuse you for a ma'am.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
That was
Tim
something
playing,
on the,
pushing the wrong button in the background there. But yeah.
It was the break.
Oh, did you skip the break again?
No.
Yeah, I did. I blew through it.
This first one.
No, this is the bottom of the hour.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, but the other break we missed.
No, the music's in the
first break we missed. So he hit the computer and it brought up the first break. That's what we were hearing for a split second. Anyway, it's all fine. Don't worry, people. These are professionals at the controls. You do not need to fear. Do not step away from your computer. We will get this right yet. So anyway, I presume we have emails and stuff.
Yes, we do.
And we will do that. Thank you for allowing me to just ramble on about our military personnel. Looks like we're going to be going to Guam. Mm-hmm. In March. Kind of excited about that. Just got an email from those guys. Yes, I've been getting emails from all kinds of chaplains because they were playing my commercials on the Armed Forces Network.
So these
guys were seeing them all over the world.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Suddenly the day turns into night, far away from the city. But don't hesitate, your love, yeah, walk away. Every day I wanna tell you I love you way, every way,
every way, every day. You listen to the Mark Gunger Show. We're on every day, except Saturdays and Sundays. So technically not every day, every weekday anyway, where we handle your marital questions and relational things. Real quick before we go to your emails, let you know that our fall seminar season is kicking up. We are going to be this weekend. Where are we going to be?
Lakeville, Minnesota.
Lakeville. I'm trying to find the...
Celebration Church in Lakeville, Minnesota.
Is. Yeah.
Is that suburb of the cities?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
Yeah, South Minneapolis.
South Minneapolis. So all you people over in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, come check us out. You can. We're going to be there Friday night, Saturday morning, done by noon. You can go to our website, laughyourway.com, and you'll see the information there where you can get tickets and whatnot, and get all your questions answered, little maps, whatever, to where we're going. And so there you go. Check it out. Over in Minneapolis, I was there once for a seminar when I was first doing this. And now we're finally going back 10 years later. Well, you know,
it's weird. It's right across the border, and you just don't go there. Same thing with Illinois.
Same with Chicago. Yeah, I think it's that old thing, you know, a prophet's without honor, except in his own area, you know. And I don't know if it's the Wisconsin rivalry thing where the Vikings and Bear fans hate cheeseheads or whatever else. But I get asked. I just got another email from Australia this last night about going back down there. We get asked from huge churches all over the world. And across the country to do my seminar. Peru, I got all kinds of emails this last week.
But you can't get to Minnesota.
I can't get to Minnesota or Chicago.
Crazy.
I have no idea. It's the craziest thing. So so here we are. We're actually going to Minneapolis. And we'll see. The response actually has been kind of soft. It's just that thing, you know. Go to Germany, the places pack out. And, you know, we brought a fairly small group in at Lakeville, so there's plenty of room.
Right. Come on out. You'll have a seat.
The good news is we're being in Minneapolis. The bad news is it's not that big of a crowd.
No.
A couple hundred people. So if you want up close and personal with me, here's the chance to do it. Come check it out. We'll have a lot of fun as we do our Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event in Lakeville, Minnesota. All the information's at laughyourway.com.
Okay, the first email is a dating question.
Alrighty then.
Mark, Diane, and Ross, first off, I want to say that I love listening to the show. I never miss it. Thank you for always being insightful and hilarious at the same time. I am 20 years old, and I'm dating a 21-year-old. We have been dating for nearly 10 months.
This is a guy or girl?
This is a woman writing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the topic of marriage has come up. My boyfriend says that he knows for sure he wants to marry me and that he will, but first he has to have financial security. He has to be finished with school. He says he's not ready for marriage yet and that sort of thing. I don't have a problem with waiting a little bit to get married to him, but I feel as if he's just making excuses and is going to keep saying these things. I believe that he really is planning on marrying me, but come on. I am not going to wait around for several years for him to decide that he's ready to make a commitment to me. I try not to put too much pressure on him, but I also feel that if I don't push the idea, it will never happen. Do I need to relax and leave him alone about it? And is it too soon to be thinking of marrying him? She says it offends her that he feels this way.
How long have they been dating?
10 months.
10 months.
Yeah.
And then I asked a few follow-up questions.
Okay.
And she said, I did leave out some details, I suppose. I'm not sure if this information makes a difference or not. My boyfriend and I actually live together. We lived together before I became a Christian, and after listening to the show, I know that it wasn't a good choice. I'm a bit worried that because of my wrong decisions, I'm ruining my relationship or the future of it. I know this is a lot of issues, but I want to start doing things right and hopefully fix both the relationship with my boyfriend and my relationship to God.
You need to sing this song to him, sweetheart.
Far too long. Say you'll buy me a shiny ring, but your words don't mean a thing. No more calling me baby,
no more loving like crazy till you take me down. Yeah, see ya.
Take me down.
Take me down to the little white church.
Take me down.
Take me down, oh yeah, yeah.
You can't ride this gravy train.
That's what you tell him.
Anymore, anyway.
Come on, be a strong woman now.
There's a price for keeping me. I might be cheap,
but hey, but I ain't free. You tell him this right now.
No more calling me baby,
and no more loving like crazy.
So you take me down.
Take me down. Slap you upside the head. Get your rear end out of there. You got no business being sleeping with this man, screwing this guy, moving in with him. What is the matter with you? Get the heck out of there. You move out today. No more playing games. He wants you. You tell him this.
Charming devil, silver tongue. Had your fun, now you're done.
What they do.
Mama warned me about your game.
You should have listened to your mama.
She don't like you anyway.
I don't like him either.
No more calling me baby. No more loving like crazy. No more chicken and gravy. Ain't gonna have your baby.
Baby, will you get me down?
Take me down.
Come on.
Take me down.
Take me down.
Take me down.
Non negotiable, baby.
Take me down.
You're gonna do it right now.
Take me down to the little white church. Take me down to the little white church. Take me down to the little white church.
Oh, yeah. Listen to me. If you don't respect yourself, he never will. Quit moving in with him. What is the matter with you girls? Some of y'all are just dumb as bricks. Moving in this guy, and, oh, he doesn't want to marry me.
Wants I wonder for, why. I wonder for, why.
He's getting the, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Move out today.
If you want to do things right. She said that she wants to do it right by him, and she wants to do it right by God. That's...
Well, you're right by God. What do you... What is the matter with people?
She moved in when she wasn't a Christian,
well,
though.
Then move the heck out! Now you are a Christian.
Okay!
Move out! Man, I would just... If she was my daughter, I would just... Oh, man.
But she's not. So you've got a guy who is doing exactly what our society and culture is telling him he should do, so he thinks he's doing the right thing. So,
but she knows better.
Well, or she just found out and knows better now. So
yes.
It's like, how do you unscramble these eggs?
Yet. There's nothing to unscramble. You move out.
Well, don't you think
she just move the heck out?
You want her to be so black and white and play that
yes,
song?
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
Dude,
Ross is disagreeing.
I'm disagreeing with you on that one.
She's screwing this guy.
No. I'm understanding. I get what you're saying, but maybe he's not as, you know, I've got the cows, so whatever you just said, why buy the
maybe
cow
when
you get the milk for
free? Maybe he's not intentionally using her
it's not that, you know, scenario. I'm just curious.
Dude.
Well, he doesn't know any better, obviously.
I agree with what you're saying.
He likes the girl. I'll marry you someday when I get around to it. He's already living with her.
No. He's
already having sex with her. He does whatever he wants with her. But he's not going to marry her until he's financially secure.
Ready.
He's not ready.
Because he wants to finish school. He wants to get things lined
what
up financially.
What sense does that make?
It
he's already make living with her.
It doesn't
he
make any sense.
He moves out. That's the advice.
He says he's not ready for marriage yet. If you're not ready for marriage, you're not ready to screw somebody either, boys and girls.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not trying to justify what they're doing. I'm just saying, you know, I'm kind of the colorful lens. Yours is sometimes very black and white, and I'm just seeing this in a different perspective.
Well, what color do you have, Ross?
I have a...
We have a young
rainbow
lady.
Rainbow of colors.
We have a young
okay,
lady.
But she's a Christian
she's
now.
She's a
so
Christian
that makes
now.
It very black and white.
What's your advice for a Christian girl who's screwing her boyfriend outside the bonds of marriage when there's no commitment to marry?
Yours.
What's your colorful advice?
I'm not going to get my colorful advice because this is your show. And
by all means.
Please, Ross. Please.
Welcome to the Ross Gorzewski Show.
I stepped out here, ladies and gentlemen, by disagreeing a little bit. I'm not disagreeing on the premise of what you're saying. I just don't think it's as black and white as that. I do agree that she needs to move out and she needs to draw some very
But then what part is colorful to you?
Lines
what,
in the
part,
sand.
What part is too black and white?
I just think maybe it's this guy's understanding of what he's trying to do to create the perfect world so he can marry her. But what if he gets the right message, gets the right guys? Is he a church-going fella? Is he, is he pursuing his faith? Is she saved? Is he not saved? Are they both pursuing God? What's, what are all
okay,
the other details?
Okay, if they're both pursuing God, then he needs to understand and know this.
Ross, even if that's true, the advice is still right. There's no color to it.
I know.
She moves out. There's guys, there are, it's like I haven't, when I got saved at 16 years of age, I told my girlfriend, we could not be together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she asked Jesus, got right with God. It's just that simple.
And this girlfriend would be your wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
And an hour and a half later, she comes up to me just jumping over. I did it. I said, you did what? I asked Jesus in my heart. I thought,
you did it.
You're a liar. That's, right. But I mean, this is true of dating as a teenager. Much less if you're a young adult. Mm-hmm. The minute you... And Ross, it wasn't like I was really mature in my faith. I had just recently quit smoking dope and taking LSD, and I didn't know the Bible from my butt at that point in my life.
But you knew that to do this.
I knew there's something that's got to stop.
I get that. But not everybody has this very black and white encounter where they know that they should stop. I get what you're saying. She needs to stop doing these things. But, I just think, saying it is a little bit different than them actually executing it. They need the right people around their world so they can...
Horse manure.
Why is it horse manure?
Because she has to do the right thing. If she's going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to be truly a disciple of Jesus Christ...
Yeah.
You have to do the right thing, no matter who it separates you from.
Agreed.
Or who it connects you with.
Agreed.
If Jesus met this young lady,
he would not
be saying to her, let's see where he's kind of at, and maybe, if you, take him to church for a while.
It's the follow me, let the dead bury their dead,
exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes, I get it.
So whatever color you got is the color of caca.
Well, I take my color of caca and I will continue to use it because, I'm a connector. I'm a relational connector. I like to see where people are at and if there's a possible way that they can win, yet still doing the right thing.
Well, I'm not against...
What if he all of a sudden gets this and hears this and goes, oh my gosh, you're right. This is...
You mean like my wife who had that confrontation and I said, we're not doing this anymore.
Yes. Well, that
and all
might
of a sudden she
happens.
Goes and she says yes and then she gets right. And I'm pretty sure she really loves Jesus.
I'm pretty sure she does
I'm
too.
I'm pretty sure if a choice between me and Jesus, I'm hitting the road, Jack.
So then there's no color to it. If this girl does what Mark says and it happens that he says, oh, you're right, then there is no color to this. She laid down the black and white and she's going to live the black and white
you,
and it's his choice
he
then.
He will freak.
Yeah.
He will absolutely freak. Yep. When she says, I'm not doing this anymore because this is wrong.
Yes.
This is offensive to God. This is offensive to my faith. If you don't want... And the reality is, sweetheart, you have no business marrying this guy if he's not a believer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you're truly a Christian, Christianity 101, you do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever.
Is he a person of faith, or is just she the person of faith?
I think she just got saved.
I'm agreeing with you. I absolutely am. So I'm backing off. So sorry, people, for my my challenge there. I just do things a little bit differently than the man in orange today.
So. I asked her if they were Christians, and she only spoke about herself being a Christian. So I'm thinking that it is just her, that he is not.
Yeah.
The man in orange is Mark, by the way, because he has an orange shirt on. People can't see this. That's what he says.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with my father-in-law. I think it's right. I'm just a
single happy. You
single
agree
happy
with
is
Ross?
Sucking up to Ross
what
today?
Is the matter with you, girl? He's crazy.
Who is Ross? Where his face? What? What?
Where's
who is
face?
Ross?
She's a guest.
Yeah, Ross.
Who is
Ross? Is awesome.
Oh man,
Ross is a psycho.
I just think it's one of these things. I hope she can take what you're
saying.
Look,
you don't have to be
mean
about it. You need to be a jerk about it, but you clearly it stops.
Right.
You say, "I'm not doing this anymore. I cannot be having sex with you." Okay?
Right. Agreed.
Because it's totally inconsistent with my Christian faith. We're done. It's done.
She moves out. She
just moves out.
Goes back home to her parents.
Sweetheart,
it's even
deeper than that. You know, if he said, "Okay, I'll marry you," even still, I would say, "Don't marry him."
Right.
If he's not a believer.
Right.
Now, if he is a Christian just living like a pig, well, then you just move out until he marries you. If he's not even a believer, you just move out and that's it.
Excuse me. If he's a Christian living like a pig, is he really a Christian?
Wow.
But see, I, even at 19, did not even care about being financially sound. But you know that this is a pursuit of a lot of people
today. I don't care.
But it's broken thinking. It's not right.
I don't care.
Okay. You don't care.
I don't care. You know, I've just had it with this wussed out version of Christianity that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people today, they're going to divorce their husband. People who love Jesus, they're going to divorce their husband, divorce their wife, because I'm just not happy. And God would never want me to be unhappy. You know, here we've had people for thousands of years who have sacrificed everything for the kingdom of God. There have been people who had their children thrown to the lions, cut to pieces right in front of their eyes, who said, "You either deny Jesus or I'm going to kill your kid." And they held firm and watched their own children. People lit on fire, burned to death at the stake.
For their faith.
For their faith.
And today we have people who can't even give up a good screw for their faith, honestly.
That's what I'm talking about. So you can't, Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you're willing to give up everything. But they can't give up the kind of screwing. And I just don't buy it. And to me, it's a wussed out version of Christianity. If she were my daughter, I promise you, I would slap her. There'd be hell to pay. If I found out my daughter's living with you, boinking her little brains out.
Well, 17 years into a marriage, you know, so it's not happening.
It's a moot point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, living with you, claiming to be a Christian, come on. And all the way back to my point, he's treating you disrespectfully anyway.
Right.
He doesn't. He gets whatever he wants from her for nothing.
He's not willing to commit to her. If he's not willing to commit to her right now to do anything, why does she think he will be willing to commit and give up anything or be that kind of a man after there's a ring on her finger? I think it's just proof right there. He's not a man of good character, lady. He's just not. And he's not going to become one because you stand at the front of the church. Who he is now is who he's going to be later.
Exactly.
I have an issue with it.
And you know what, darling? This is exactly the kind of guy who later on, after you've been married for a while, and you're a little fatter than you were before, and you got 2-3 kids yelling and crying, and you don't feel like, you know, spending much time because you gotta do all the stuff you gotta do, and you just clean the toilet, and you don't
and
feel like making love to him.
And all the ick of life and the day-to-day sets in.
Yeah, and then he's out there, and now he's screwing some other cute girl now. Mm-hmm. And you'll be crying, why? Why? Why could he do it? Why would he have sex outside of marriage? Because you told him
it was okay.
Sure.
You're telling him that now.
And he's already proven to you he is perfectly comfortable having sex with someone he's not married to.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That won't change when he has a ring on his finger.
You're teaching him that you are perfect. Listen to me. You are saying that you, not him, you are perfectly comfortable with him having sex with a woman he's not married to. That's what you're teaching him.
That's right.
And you think just the ring's gonna, Sarah, this is broken at so many levels.
They don't understand that.
I mean, I understand Ross's Mr. Compassion thing here, because you're talking about a lot of people here, but
Well, it's not so
now,
much.
Now, they were not Christian. You know, even if they were not Christian, I'd tell the same thing.
It's not so much compassion as it is, you know, if a person who's new in their faith, they're not going to get all of this and have the confidence to be able to execute and override their feelings.
But they need to be told to.
No, guys, I'm telling you. I disagree. I'm not comfortable enough in my faith. Again, I was just smoking marijuana, taking LSD, doing God knows what, and I got this right away. I think true conversion to Christianity is an absolute transformative thing that you make a decision. I'm going to honor God no matter what it takes.
Sure.
Yep.
And it's only because of the culture has gotten so accepting of sexuality. If we change the commandment, which I've used this analogy before, you know, hey, we both love Jesus, but we kill people.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have a problem with that. You tell them they got to kill people right away. Or we both love Jesus, but we break into people's homes and steal stuff.
Yeah, you wouldn't say there's any color there.
There's no color there. Well, man, you got to quit breaking into people's homes, man. That's not right.
Sure.
But for some reason, when it comes to sex, we've been so dumbed down on morality that it sounds harsh, even to you. You think, you guys kind of hard, Margaret. No. This one. Most basic fundamental moral is morality. You shall not kill. You don't commit adultery. You don't lie. You don't steal. These are basics. We're not talking the finer doctrinal truths of transubstantiation. You know, we're not talking about
basic.
that's a very different doctrine. We're not debating Calvinism versus Arminianism versus all the other isms in the middle in between. And we're not discussing about, you know, giving 10% of your income versus only throwing in $4 in every offering. Yeah, that stuff you grow in your faith. Yeah, that stuff takes a while to kind of get some of these things. You know, how much you pray, whether or not you fast. How many people have even fasted listening to this radio show? I bet you the vast majority have never fasted in their lives. But these are basic Christian disciplines. You can cut somebody some slack. You need to take this more seriously. You need to give money. You need to give of your time. You need to attend church. All that stuff. But when you get to the basic moral cores, I don't know. I know lots of people have no problem with it, but I do.
There's an article.
Put punches on it. Go ahead.
Article that we'll do later this week that they surveyed pastors. Only a third of Protestant pastors, mostly evangelicals, hold strict to the policy on marriage that they would not marry cohabitating people. Only a third of pastors think that it is not okay to marry people who are living together. Moral slide. Sorry. I mean, I'm not flinging poo at you, Ross. I'm just saying that it's not just...
That's all right. I'm a big boy. I
put on the chat.
Ross is a wiener. Mm-hmm. We love you, Ross.
We love him.
No, that's all right. Hey, look, I can handle what you guys are
saying.
Mark,
you're a weird. Why, single happy? She's really on Ross's
side
today.
You are the compassionate one amongst us.
I think I spelled wiener wrong, but who cares? I'm a very compassionate
wiener. You are compassionate.
I just know not everybody
is. I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener.
See?
That's what I would truly like to be.
Like me.
As
if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Well, see, I'm the guy that sits with people. You don't like counseling people. You know, it's very draining to you. And you don't do so much of it either.
I'm just saying,
walking people through this stuff is so much.
No, I understand. And that's just the beginning of the
educating.
Show.
Educating, yep. This is not
we
the show.
We would never
for that.
Be. No. This mean to this lady in person.
Right, correct.
I'd still teach her the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Might take a little while to get it through her, but at some point, you know, she needs to stop.
Yeah.
But I have people that come to my office like this and say, no, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You have no business doing what you're doing. What
Agreed.
You're doing is wrong.
Yes.
Well, and they'll cry and they'll, you know, but, you know, at some point, you still got to lay down the line. I don't hate you.
Right.
We're not going to keep you from coming to church. We're not going to, you know, have you arrested and thrown into prison, but what she's doing is wrong. And she knows already. The reason she even wrote us is she has a sense.
Guilt.
No, she feels cheap. No, because she gets that the guy does not really value her.
She's feeling bad. She said it offends her
the offense, yeah.
That he doesn't value. She didn't use those words, but extrapolating that he doesn't value her, and it makes her feel bad.
But what she doesn't understand is not him that's setting the value cheap. Yeah. It's her.
She's setting her own worth and value
allowing this. He treats you cheap. Lee, because that's the bar that you set for him, darling. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. If you don't value you, he's never going to value you. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. I wish I could just push a button and change the rules, but we can't.
That's the way it is. I understand what you're saying, Ross, but it's
hard. Hey, you don't need to go there. I don't need an uplift ego here. I get it.
No. The thing is, where I'm coming from is in my own personal experience, it was not the nice, compassionate people like you while they were in my life when I was doing all sorts of wrong and bad things. It was that you need to stop it. It was the very black and white people that spoke into my life that made the difference for me, because the compassionate people allowed me for far too long to be able to walk down the wrong path and do the wrong things. And
that's,
it wasn't until the
Ross.
Black and whites came.
This is for Ross. We love you, man.
You're nobody till somebody loves
you. We love you, Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, I so do not need.
Yes, you do.
Somebody
you need to know
can.
We love you.
You may be king.
Everybody get it right now, wherever you're at. And swing. Even in your office. Just
not swing, but
grab the person next to you.
But gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old
like Diane.
The world still is the same.
I'm always younger than you, friend.
Change it. As sure as the stars shine above.
This is for you, Ross, baby.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
There you go. Did you feel the love? Did you feel the love?
Yeah, I took your daughter. Did you know that it was my anniversary last week? And you didn't. Come on, dude. September 9th was my anniversary.
Oh, dude, it's not my anniversary.
He can barely remember his own.
I remember my own.
This is
you
so
want me to
true.
Remember yours?
Come on.
Look, I just sang your special song there.
Yes,
what more
you
do
did.
You want?
You need to play the Lion King one, Ken. You feel the love tonight.
I don't want
Ken,
any of it.
You feel the love tonight. Come on, Ross.
You're right. And you're right. This is not the show for somebody to sit and have, you know, to be walked through this and blah, 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 blah. You're
just no, you can. Give them- hey, look. This show could use a little compassion.
I'm just saying. I'm
you have
thinking,
the witch and the warlock sitting over here being mean to
so
everybody.
So true. And I'm like this. I'm like this expression of light in this very dark room.
Yeah. We're just all about dark and gloom.
Well, you
and
just
doom.
Said witch and warlock.
There it is.
Thank you.
Everybody, hold hands right now. Hold hands for Ross.
Can you feel
all
me now?
The world right now?
Can you feel me now?
It is well.
And music is going.
Everybody, take out your big slider.
As this all became
everybody,
about
lick your
me.
Big for Ross right now. Waving the your hands.
Sky full of lighters.
We love you, Ross.
You guys are crazy.
We love you.
We're in love with you, man.
Ross is
more than love.
Ross is touchy feely.
Oh,
he is
my
touchy.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He's a good man.
I love you, Ross. You have no idea how much I love you.
I have to be a good man,
dude,
in order to
without,
succeed.
Without question, you are my favorite son-in-law.
See y'all tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.